Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for August 25th, 2012. Coming down the home stretch of whatever. You know, 2012 is an interesting time, and I thought I would be addressing those times today. We'll be discussing Dossier on the Ascension by Serapis Bey by way of Mark Prophet, Messenger of the Ascended Masters, and also the Cosmic Clock Strikes High Noon is going to be the subject of the article that I have on the Cosmic Love homepage for today. You can read that on your own. We're going to be going through that. What this is referencing is largely the subject of the Ascension. I've been writing a lot about the last several articles I've had on my website. Has been on the subject of the Ascension process, Ascension dynamics, and I think it's really appropriate that we're going to be referencing Serapis Bey. That's a real classic work on the subject of the Ascension, the work, Dossier on the Ascension, and what the Ascended Masters have to say on the subject. So this understanding of how Gaia, Terra, Earth is ascending, why it's ascending now, what's going on with the dimensional shift on the planet, how this dimensional shift is affecting our DNA, our consciousness, the rate of accelerating change, of innovation with technology, and all kinds of political dynamics that are kind of messy when things change quickly. The old order is being transcended, transformed, a form of metamorphosis, you might say, and it can be kind of messy. Just as, the worm goes into that cocoon and dissolves into a great gunge and comes out a butterfly, there's a stage there where there's, you might say, a lot of chaos as the old worm is dissolving and the butterfly is emerging, and this is kind of what's going on with the Ascension process. Metaphorically speaking, on a planetary level, the energetic shift, the morphogenic grids of the Earth, how they're being energized by galactic alignment right now as our solar system orbits up and across in alignment with the galactic plane of our Milky Way galaxy in its 25,800-year precession of the equinox. So, in the larger scheme of our Milky Way galaxy, the cosmic clock of cycles within cycles regulates Earth and our solar system like cosmic ordained clockwork. And when I say the cosmic clock strikes high noon, the understanding of this energy is peaking. It has been increasing with the accelerated rate of change that we see in the world is because the accelerated intensity of the surge of the source field, the energy field, or the unified field of our galaxy through hundreds of billions of star systems in the galactic plane as our solar system intersects that galactic plane in this 25,800-year precession of the equinox. And this subject, now the understanding of how Stonehenge, the Great Pyramid, the Mayan pyramids, and megalithic structures all over the world have been oriented to this this precession of the equinoxes. It's been oriented to the cycle, this grand cycle. And the ancient calendar systems of the Egyptians, of the Chinese, the Mayans, the Hindu, Tibetans, and Hopi Indians reference this great cycle of the precession as the larger context of 12 ages of approximately 2,000 years that correspond to the signs of the star maps, the zodiac. So since our solar system orbits across the galactic plane twice in each 25,800-year precession of the equinox, which was known as the Great Crossing by the ancients, when we cross that galactic plane and there's a surge in the source field, there is a spontaneous evolution process that goes on. There's an acceleration of of innovation and change, technological change, social change, and all the things affected by technology. There's also a quickening of consciousness, some more than others, but there's definitely a lot of people waking up, some people waking up to eternal contempt for how things are really screwed up in government, etc., and other people waking up internally to a self-elevation process that you can equate with salvation. And that process of the only, you know, of upward mobile conscious evolution is what we'll be discussing as the ascension process. So this is a fascinating subject to me. I think it really helps if you would click on those two links I have on the precession of the equinoxes and watch the YouTube video. It's only a few minutes, but it is it's a really good computer graphic of what I'm talking about when I say our solar system orbits up and across the galactic plane. It has a computer animation that shows that, shows the 25,800-year cycle. I think they refer to it as a different number of years, but close to that 25,800 years. I mean, what it is exactly, there's sometimes some scientists refer to maybe 100 years more or 100 years less or a few hundred years in either direction, but it's around that area. It's a long cycle, way past prehistory as we know it, so documenting it is a little bit sketchy, but from what the astrophysicists can tell, it's approximately 25,800 years. And the important thing is that it shows in that little computer animated graphic, a YouTube video, it shows this orbit, this cycle, as our solar system cycles around the Milky Way galaxy in a giant orbit, and I think it's something like 248 million years that it takes to orbit around, or maybe I'm wrong there. Someone can correct me, perhaps. It's either hundreds of thousands or hundreds of millions of years. But again, it's a cycle that boggles the mind. But you can see in that orbiting process how our solar system orbits up and across the galactic plane twice in this 25,800 years. The last time this occurred was the rise of mythical Atlantis, and that's analogous to our current global you know, surge of the last 10, 20 years. There's been this whole global warming that's been going on the Earth and actually all the planets in our solar system because we've been entering the photon belt. It's peaking in 2012. There's several really good videos on this subject in that link I've provided on the Cosmic Love homepage, down in the copy regarding time acceleration in 2012, and that's by Terrence McKenna. There's several. That's a website that's got several videos that are amazing to watch and profound insight into this understanding of the acceleration of time. Time acceleration, sometimes referred to as time compression. To where there's things are speeding up to a what Greg Braden calls zero point, other people call an instant everywhere interactive conscience, like the infinite eternal here and now kind of a thing, where the here and now is or the infinite and the eternal is compressed, and with a here and now sense that is more profound, more in depth. Sometimes people call that awakening or enlightenment, as people become more conscious of how they're conscious in the here and now. So that concept of time acceleration, time compression, what's going on in 2012, some people understanding and experiencing all kinds of phenomenal gifts of the Holy Spirit, effective sensory perception, you might say, revelations of all kinds as the veil thins and there's an unveiling of the mysteries. These unveiled mysteries are getting full disclosure. and all kinds of stuff is coming out on the internet. I mean, everything, wherever you want to go, you know, whatever you want to, you know. I mean, there's information about stuff that's just, you know, it's whatever. So I'm going to be going into this a little bit more. I wanted to go through the two articles that I provided at that link. The first article goes more in depth on, again, the cosmic clock strikes high noon. What's going on with 2012 with this surge in the source field? You know, the high point, you might say, or a peaking point, which will, again, continue on for decades, but it's reaching, some would say, critical mass, other would say a surge. And how that surge is going to manifest, good question. Into the end of the year, what's going to happen? Leave that up to you to figure out. I can give you some hints. I've got some ideas in that regard that I think are a safe statement, and I'll be going into that. But it's a matter of each individual connecting the dots for themselves. This is we're talking about profound change in our DNA and our consciousness and our world at large, not just the morphogenic grids of the planet, you know, Gaia, Earth's ascension, but also the morphic grids, the acupuncture meridians in our bodies, the torus field around our heart, the auric field, torus field around our body. There is a transformation process going on. So modern quantum physics, in movies like The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know, you know, talk about this, really good perspective on it. And I provided a video that has got some extraordinary insight on the subject. And if you click on the link on the Cosmic Love homepage, you go to a second page, and you give some more background on that. And then it's continued in another article. And that other article has a video that I think you'll find very interesting. And that video and that information is more of an in-depth, profound, you might say, cosmic perspective on this. I just ran across this video this last week, and I was really thrilled to see it. What I consider a real find for pretty profound insight from a cosmic perspective, which has a lot to do with full disclosure. And the subject of full disclosure, unveiled mysteries, revelations, you know, again, the content in these two articles and in this, the videos, the graphics I provided, I hope will be a catalyst or a stimulant for inspiration to inspire your DNA, your consciousness, and gives you some insight on what's in process. And again, what comes out of this? Good question. But again, modern physics now is starting to really get a lot of insight into this source field concept, the unified source field, the unified field of energy, how it's all energy, it's all connected. And this understanding of the quantum field has shown that spontaneous evolution of DNA and the evolution of consciousness can be stimulated by different energies. And this, of course, the photonic energies from the great central sun out through the hundreds of thousands of suns in our galaxy, and surging in through our solar system as galactic alignment occurs, is activating or stimulating the field. For example, just August 18th, there was 30 CMEs, corona mass ejectas, M-size, M-scale CMEs, you know, on the sun. And the sun is becoming real active with this alignment process. And you think about it, the sun, there's a giant torus field, and it's in resonance with the alignment that's going on now. It's in resonance with the Great Central Sun, in alignment with, you know, the hundreds of millions of star systems in our Milky Way galaxy. So there's a surge going on, and the sun, because of this, is naturally more active. And the photonic energy from source, you might say, from, you know, not just the torus field in our galaxy, but all the galaxies of the universe, they're all connected through torus fields. Those who've seen the Thrive movie will get it's free online now, and it has a very very good explanation of the torus field from an atomic level to the galactic level, and the torus field again in our hearts, our auras, the Earth torus field. They're all connected, and it's an instant everywhere connection. There is no time or space. And the insight into this understanding in the quantum field, how it's all connected, and yet we're all separate, but we're connected. And it's a great paradox. We have individuality. You might say we're individual souls with different soul contracts, and we come in on different rays of the full spectrum of light, you might say. The white light, you know, as we know, has got all these colors of the rainbow in it, and there's all these you might say, frequencies that we come in on, and yet we're all connected to the same, you know, source, the you might say the white light, the full spectrum, conscience, knowing, intuition, those who go into the Akashic records, you know, and all this understanding of how all knowledge is out there, and we can connect with it. You know, a lot of people are awakening to different gifts of the Holy Spirit and getting flashes of insights, just like the sun is flashing with these corona mass ejectives of energy. There's an activation going on. It's an activation in our DNA cells, electrons, atoms, and interesting times. So there's this surge going on now is like high noon. You know, it's like on the cosmic clock, those 25,000-year clock. I mean, this happens twice. It happened with the rise of Atlantis, so this could be Atlantis rising again, a civilization, a global civilization. And there's a lot of insight from multiple perspectives of what's going on with this ascension process of the Earth itself. That Earth is moving into, some people say, from through the third into the fourth and fifth dimensions, and it is, you know, might say it is graduating to a more rarefied quantum level that really has a lot of portents for what some people would call a golden age. And this could be, like I say, like the rise of Atlantis, there could be a civilization rising now globally that isn't what we expected, but far better than we could have dreamed. And by the grace of source, you might say, by the grace of all that is, different people have different names for this, field within fields, it's all connected, unified field. But by the grace of source, avatars and other great souls have incarnated to initiate and inspire humanity each 2,000-year age, and with exemplification of the great law of love. When I say great law of love, I'm talking about sometimes referred to the harmony of the spheres, unity in our diversity. You know, this divine order and harmony that is really, you might say, natural law or the order of the universe. So different avatars and great souls come each age to either initiate it or otherwise raise it up, speaking parables to each age. You know, Christ spoke in parables for the masses. And he had more specific teaching for the disciples, or the disciplined ones that he had with him. We're talking about parables as a parallel reality that people could relate to. You know, like Jesus used agricultural metaphors, you know, we reap what we sow, etc. Whereas today, you know, the metaphor could be the internet, the instant, everywhere, interactive internet, that there is no time or space now. The mysteries are being unveiled because you can search anything. Search and ye shall find. You know, there are different metaphors now. But in every age, you know, there are those who get congruent with a message that has extraordinary parallels to reality, so people can grasp it, you know, for souls in each cycle. And what we're looking at now is the metaphor of the computer internet revolution, what's going on with the internet as relates to the inner net. And, you know, the next thing we're coming to in this, you might say, internet revolution is communications with effective sensory perception. And that concept of people awakening to, you know, the veil thinning, to where people just know what others are thinking, and being able to convey their own, you know, message, you know, psychically. It's an abstract concept now. More people are having different gifts of the, so to speak, Holy Spirit, holistic, effective sensory perception, where they know, they just intuitively know. And this is, you know, something that a lot of people are interested in, what's going on there. And so that first page, that first article, I give a little orientation to these concepts and go into a little bit on effective sensory perception. A quote by Einstein that says, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." Well, you might say effective sensory perception remembers the gift, the intuitive mind, and just knowing. And as we navigate the last frontier of inner space with the cosmic universal law of the angles of God, G-O-D as geometric order divinity, the law of the angles, and a common, you know, in a common language of the angels of love, you might say, you know, heart resonance or coherence with source is the language of the angels. You know, the frequency of holy compassion, you know, heart coherence, heart resonance with source. That concept at the heart of effective sensory perception will naturally involve and evolve our perceptions with an ascension process that engages the mind of God and the heart of love. You know, then this effective sensory perception is the gift. That's, you know, telepathy is the new frontier in communication, and it's emerging. And it's another quote I finished up that first article with, a quote by Albert Einstein, who says, "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and all science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger," the emotion of the mysterious, "he who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." So for those initiates with their eyes wide open, who wonder in awe of cosmic universal source, divine love, unveiled mysteries, and want more of this, we continue to the next article. And there's a link there, and it goes into this concept of DNA activation for ascension and a deeper understanding of what's going on with the collective conscience of humanity and this ascension process. And as the Earth goes through this same process. So the expression is, you can go with the flow, bro, and surf the ascension wave or not. That's the choice. And but DNA is being activated for ascension, and there's ways you can support that process and be free to ride the change wave. So in a synopsis here, what I'm saying is the accelerated rate of global transformation has come to this choice time of alignment with the galactic plane and the consequent surge in the source field, as is naturally stimulating our DNA and activating spontaneous conscious evolution for a global holistic vision of wholeness and systemic healing. And if you're up to speed on the three links that I provided on that second page that goes into the understanding of, one, alignment with the galactic plane, two, surge in the source field, and three, spontaneous conscious evolution for a global holistic vision, then if you're up to speed on that and comprehend the big picture, you're well aware of the change wave that's going on in 2012, whereby DNA activation for ascension is a choice. Now, I've kind of emphasized that point twice now, because the choice factor, the free will factor, is really, I mean, you got to want to. The prayer of desire is not seldom the prelude of the revelation, so to speak. So this choice awakens a greater sense of community as our unity of purpose, as co-creation with a higher power within us, around us, and permeating all of creation. And this is the subject of full disclosure at this time. And this is a key theme in this these two articles. What full disclosure, what revelations looks like, unveiling the quantum mysteries of the universal source field. So I think we all agree that Earth humans are not the only rational thinking beings alive in the universe, and that all life in the universe springs from one common unified field of creation, the source of the force, the divine God intelligence force. And this on the second page at this point, you have the information, the video. It's about a 35-minute video, and it's called The Message. And it's the Pleiadian connection, first contact story, The Message of the Pleiadians, and the Billy Meyer story. Now, I've looked at this Billy Meyer story from dozens of different perspectives. I've hosted speakers into the area who went and lived with Billy Myers and spoke and came back here in Montana, spoke to people in the valley about the Pleiadian contact he had and the connection, and a lot of intrigue and treachery that's gone on since then. There are websites on the internet that complete for the purpose of nothing but debunking it. Like, I don't know whether they're government websites or what the story is there. But this is a good overview of the real story of The Message of the Pleiadians. I highly recommend it. I'm going to go through some excerpts from the video before I go into the dossier on the ascension. This is Christopher Rudy, Cosmic Love, August 25th, 2012. A little station break here. And for those who came into the show later, and I'm doing a reading today on dossier on the ascension here shortly. And I'm talking about the ascension process now, what's going on with the ascension process, energies of Earth, and our and the consciousness of humanity, and doing some excerpts now from the video, the message of the Pleiadians, that is in that second article I've got linked on the Cosmic Love homepage. So here's the first video, and it's referring to the energy, the energetics of source, of the source field. And the quote is, the Palladian mess, one of the messages, and we're talking about like 6,000 pages of transcripts of the Palladians who visited Billy Meyer and gave him information. There's like 6,000 pages that have been transcribed, and the video goes into that, the vast amount of information, the understanding of, you might say, the force field, source field, as we understand it today. But the words, the terms, the concepts are quite profound in their message. And so this first quote is, this energy is your soul, your spirit, what you are, what I am, what we all are. Our human bodies are made of atoms. Our spirit is made of energy. And when physicists in your world get to know and understand this field of science, when they're thoroughly convinced that the soul of the human body is a part of God, made solely and exclusively of energy, then they'll have to define God as a great positive energy, an intelligent force pervading the entire universe. So, what is the message the Palladians want to convey? Here's another quote. It is a time for the people of Earth to become sovereign. The ultimate tyranny of society is not controlled by martial law. It is the control by the psychological manipulation of consciousness, through which reality is defined so that those who exist with it do not even realize that they are in a prison. You have been controlled like sheep in a pen by those who think they own you, from the government to the world management team. Understand that you create your own reality, and that every other person creates their reality. Everyone has the opportunity to wake up at any time. When enough people create their own reality, consciously create it, you will create a new planet. Again, this is the dynamic I'm talking about of ascension now and what's going on with the collective consciousness of humanity going through a transformation, just as the Earth grids of Terra, of Gaia, is going through a transformation. So back to the quote. This goes back to the idea that the world is not solid, it is constructed of energy, and that energy takes form through the thoughts of those who participate within the world. In other words, we shape, you know, the collective consciousness that goes into the Earth grids, and that shapes the Earth, and it's all connected. Now, the Earth grids resonate with the surge in the source field, and that resonates with the ascension process, the DNA spontaneous evolution, and the conscious evolution of humanity. It's all connected. Or as said by David Icke in Children of the Matrix, quote, most of the human race is so utterly indoctrinated by the extremely implanted norms that bombard their minds from the cradle to the grave that they have no comprehension that their normal thinking is their own individual and collective prison. So what is the ascension choice of souls in 2012, according to the Palladians, you know, representing source? Basically, the message is awakening to our unlimited spiritual potential. That's the primary message, our unlimited spiritual potential. Now, we've got some graphics on that second page. That I'm reading from, that really go into or anchor some of these concepts a lot better. But before I go into Dossier on the Ascension, there's the latter part of the second page says that I go into explaining that the flame of ascension is like a burning candle. One solid core, an individual's solid core of pure intention, is liquefied by the flame and rises up the wick with attention to retention of the power of love's fire, and thus ascension via the flame's transmutative effect. you know, the solid candle melts the liquid candle. The flame carries the liquid candle up into the gaseous aspect. And so the etheric fire transmutes, you might say, the physical and the human, the emotional is like the liquid, the mental is like the air, and the spiritual is like the fire, air, water, and earth. This whole transformative process is analogous to what goes on, you know, when you light a candle, a burning candle. So just that, and this is a parallel process, just as spiritual fire of source morphs our DNA and our conscious evolution by way of co-creation in form and frequency. You know, the form is the genesis of our DNA by a source connection. There's a resonance. The DNA in our body is like a transceiver. It receives and it transmits. It connects with. It resonates with. There's a resonance with source. And the source field is surging. And that's why DNA is in genesis, you might say, or in a spontaneous evolution. And this is some people say this is the new strands of DNA are being formed. This spontaneous evolution has been well documented in the laboratory. How it interacts with the source field is just a wholly new quantum field subject that has not gone mainstream yet, but it's going mainstream. It's going mainstream in our bodies, in our consciousness, in our DNA. And as this happens, our consciousness morphs and changes, and we become conscious of how we are conscious on this level of the connection of DNA and consciousness. I provided a link on this on the concept of the genesis of DNA via source connection. And if you read that link, there's some really interesting information on this concept there. So the DNA transceivers in our body are navigating the dimensional shift. They're navigating dimensions of source as few have yet wholly conceived, believed, or achieved. And, you know, again, this is well documented in the source field investigations, you know, the video by David. Anyway, the link, if you Google source field invest, David Wilcox. So we're talking about creating your own reality. Those who have not yet gone to the link that I provided on 2012 Love Unveiled, regarding creating your own reality. It's a Facebook page. Well, actually, it's a page that it's a direct page, but I have it on Facebook also. And it provides a lot more in-depth information on what this transformation will look like in terms of our social, political, and economic institutions. So going, wrapping up before I go into dossier on the ascension, the opposite of evil is actually informed love consciousness and doing what's necessary to culture greater cosmic love, you might say, with all one's heart, mind, and resolve. And cosmic love is just another metaphor for the source field, because the source field is cosmic love in form and frequency. It's the order of the universe and the divine harmony of the spheres. So when I use this concept of the love model with the graphics, the circle, triangle, square, I'm referring to the geometric order of divinity and the harmony of the spheres, the form and frequency of source, of the source field. And it's by organizing information with this love model that the boundaries of cosmic law language are internalized and geometrized for pattern recognition and affirmation of the quintessential meaning, value, and purpose at the heart of the vision that has found its time with 2012 Love Unveiled. This is the theme I've been emphasizing the last several shows and writings for the last year, largely. There's a progression going on. As I keep my finger on the pulse, the collective consciousness and what's going on with, you know, authors and speakers I've had on the show regarding galactic alignment, 2012, and the Mayan calendar and what's really going on. It's I don't learn fast, but I learn good, and it's becoming more clear to me that amazing stuff is going on. Another good messenger of this subject is Patricia Cotarobles. August 8th, 2012, she did an article called "This Is Our Moment, Hold the Light." She said, quote, "This is a cosmic moment in the evolution of this planet, and all of us who are on Earth at this time have been preparing for lifetimes to assist in this vitally important facet of the unfolding divine plan." So I go up, I go into, finishing up this second article, I go into more on the sacred path of the ascension and how and why it's not a mystery when known. What are some of the coordinates for lifting of the veil and looking beyond the illusion, becoming conscious of how one is conscious with the law of the angles, the language of the angels, and frames of reference for the law and language of consciousness. And so here's a quote from Dossier on the Ascension, to quote, "And it will come to pass that with the accomplishment of the capstone crowning man's achievement, the civilization of the Golden Age, the permanent Golden Age, will begin." So, the Dossier on the Ascension is a story of the soul's acceleration into higher consciousness on the path of initiation. The path of initiation basically is the path of the ascension, where you're initiating the ones, your ascent in the law and language of eternal progression. So, we're now going to go into this dossier. I should reference the concept of who Serapis Bey is, one of the ascended masters. He's hierarch of the Ascension Temple and the initiations in the Great Pyramid, what went on in the Temple of Luxor, which anyone who has studied the Temple of Luxor, the geometry in that temple is extraordinary. It's exquisite. It's extremely advanced, just like the pyramid, you might say, is a Bible in stone, with the coding of the holographic universe, the timeline, and so many correspondences to the solar system and cycles within our galaxy that are just profound. So the understanding of the ascension flame, this is what I'm going to go into. The ascension flame is like we're referring to that candle that rises the base to the crown, or the solid candle to the liquid candle. You know, the evolution from the physical to the emotional, mental, and spiritual dimensions. That whole process is the full spectrum light, the white light of the full spectrum light of enlightened consciousness. The white light, just as like I referred to before, represents all the colors of the rainbow. It represents the full spectrum of consciousness. And this understanding of the ascension, there's a quote by Serapis Bey right inside the book that says, "The seeker for truth and for contact with the hierarchy of light and the Great White Brotherhood." Now, when I say Great White Brotherhood, I'm referring to the source field. You might say the source of ascended beings, the full spectrum light of cosmic beings in the Antakarana, the web of light. So I'm going to read that again. "The seeker for truth and for contact with the hierarchy of light and the Great White Brotherhood must, of necessity, come directly under the aegis and guidance of the great master teachers to embark on the path towards mastery, achievement, victory, and the ascension is an initiatic process. Whether it be Zarathustra, who ascended back to God in the great flame, or Elijah, who went into heaven in the chariot of fire, The flame of the ascension is the key which unlocks the door to immortality for every man. Immortality for every man. So that's right inside the cover of the book. And we're talking about eternal progression here. We're talking about the ascension, evolutionary ascent. And I'm going to have to do a wrap here. I was going to get into this more, I realize that the depth of this material is very metaphoric, because exquisite metaphor or parable is the way a lot of the Ascended Master teachings reference, exquisite metaphor for understanding the mysteries. But I wanted to say that if you can pick up this book, Dossier on the Ascension, you will find from the beginning and throughout the book an extraordinary amount of references to spiritual geometry, the geometry of divinity, divine geometry, the order of the universe, and frames of reference on a galactic level, for this quote on the first page, in the preface, for example, "For the whirling galaxy within is also under dominion of these masses of energy, of light, and concentric focuses of light, orbs of light, masses of light. For the sun and the moon and the stars and the luminous orbs of creation are concentric focuses." It's just might be more than I just don't have time to go into all of it right now, but I will say that there's a lot of references for the understanding of divine purpose, harmony with nature, and different words and concepts like the concept of the pyramid, pyramid, fire in the middle, and the whole process of conscious evolution from the base to the capstone, and the metaphor for the capstone. You understand the crowning of the base, and this assembling the components to the capstone, the components of the pyramid of self and civilization, both rising to the capstone, and of course in the love model, the fourth principle in the LOVE, the square I use in the graphic is really the plan of the pyramid, looking down on the pyramid with the square, with the cross, and the circle in the middle. And one of the Ascended Masters, Cyclopaedia, referenced in a dictation in 1980 that the pyramid of self and civilization, the City Four Square, the New Jerusalem, this archetypal symbol of the pyramid, looking down on the pyramid, the plan of the pyramid, that archetype of the four square gospel, you might say, the truth of these four archetypes, whether you're Jung or the fire, air, water, and earth of astrology, psychology, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical components to the capstone, are all referencing the same thing. And in that dictation, Cyclopaedia referred to it as the most powerful thought form in the universe and the key to the ascension of the planet. So the love model really is building those components of the capstone with an understanding of the law, the one, the circle, the two and one, the cross, the three and one, the trinity, and the four and one. The four and one, the one being the capstone of the four sides of the pyramid and the E in the love model. So I've gone into a lot of the mysteries today, the mysteries of God, geometrically ordered divinity, the source field, the love model. And I hope you found this interesting. I'm going to be going into more of this subject, the ascension, and my writings for those who are on my email list. And we'll catch you in a couple weeks. Happy trails. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The Internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention.
Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you might understand, today is Saturday, my favorite day of the week. And I'm here because it brings me great pleasure to be here and come along with my dear friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard. I hope you weren't talking about that koala you've got sitting next to you there.
No, wasn't thinking about that. Well, we come every week, my friends, and we send you an email about the individual that we are going to discuss tonight. And I want to tell you a little bit about how this individual was chosen. Now, if you get our email, you know that the young lady who really wants to come forth is Karen Carpenter. And you also know that you, my friends, have sent requests to bring forth different individuals, and we put them on a list. And then we go over the list, and someone puts up their hand. It's really interesting. It's like being tapped on the shoulder. And Karen did this. As we were going over the list as to who we would bring forth, there was Karen, this beautiful soul. And for those of you who are listening to this, who know they've been told they're cherubim angels, Karen is a cherubim. She's one of the cherubim angels from your group. And such a beautiful, beautiful being she is. And she came forth for a specific reason. And she is here because she has a particular message that she wants to send out to our cherubim friends and to everyone else. If you remember, Karen, just see her image in your third eye. Call forth her name. And as Richard brings in her energy and describes her energy to you, you may also be able to feel her and have communication with her also. She wishes to speak to you individually. So here is a time where you can bring forth your right brain magic skills. And so, Richard, if you would be kind enough to call forth Karen and tell our audience what her energy feels like, we would be very grateful.
Her energy surprises me because it carries tremendous power. She carries love. I experience her energy very, very centrally for the most part and powerfully, like I experience some of the great masters. And in many ways, it's not that almost kind of light, dainty woman that we knew as Karen Carpenter. There is a great power here. And above all, love. And yet along with that, there is this lightness, this edge of joy to the left of that. And joy is the best word to describe it. Beautiful, clear, clean energy. As I said, primarily this experience of powerful love with this almost dancing joy. Beautiful, beautiful energy.
Thank you, dear friend. And hopefully when you heard that energy described to you, you could connect with her. She is so anxious to connect to you. And Richard, she tells us that she has a message. And what is it?
Let us see what she has to say. I am honored to be able to come forth in this manner. Again, it is not something that I envisioned being able to do, but when my name came forth, as these two were reviewing their plans, when my name was spoken in that manner, it's kind of like a cue. It's like a tap on the shoulder. And in this dimension, even though it seems like an instant moment in yours, from where I stand, suddenly you can draw this picture together in what you would consider an instant of time and immediately understand the perspective in which my name was mentioned. And so I took the opportunity to respond. And here we are all communicating in this manner. And I feel blessed and honored and excited to be here. And so I asked to come forth because I wanted to share some things with you in relation to my life. As those of you who have listened to my music will understand, I was blessed with perfect pitch so that I was simply able to sing any note without effort. And it really was that, above all else, that enabled me to sing as I was able to sing. And some have described my singing as angelic, and indeed that was the intention, to carry a particular vibration, a particular energy, and bring it forth into the world, though of course, as the individual that I was, as Karen Carpenter, I really did not understand that I was fulfilling a planned mission. And as you might perhaps expect, it was not planned that I die at the age that I did, of some 32, nearly 33 years of age. It was not planned that I do this. However, strange as it may seem in a sense, and yet those who understand the nature of that consciousness, despite my success and the, you might say, perception that so many held of my singing and the music that my brother Richard and I in particular created, I was plagued with self-doubt. I felt unworthy. And that might sound strange to you, but indeed I felt unworthy. And this, I recognize, was what drove my desire to be so thin. In some manner, it became fixed in my head that if I could be slimmer, I would be more worthy. I would gain a greater sense of my own worth because I felt I was overweight. And yet in truth, I was never particularly heavy. But rather, this became an addiction of sorts, you might say, and really was driven by my sense of unworthiness. And as many of you listening to this will understand, the notion of self-worth, of self-doubt, these two things are very closely connected, has really nothing to do with your success or otherwise in the world, in the terms that you or somebody else might judge by way of success. It is simply a perception that one has of oneself. And I remind all of you, you are all souls sent forth from great monads of extraordinary complexity and experience, and you come forth into this consciousness to fulfill a mission. But the nature of that consciousness has been so manipulated by so many sources, so many self-interests, you might say, to demean and to diminish the individual human's perception of themselves, that so many suffer from these, what I consider, afflictions of self-doubt and lack of self-worth and self-criticism and so on. Indeed, underpinning these in a very powerful way are those elements of guilt and shame. And these things are things that most, if not all, of humanity on some level has to deal with in their lifetime, either by succumbing to them or beginning to understand their nature and clearing their sources. And so I wanted to explain to you what had driven what happened to me. It was not the plan. Indeed, I recognize that this actually came forth from a past lifetime, this lack of self-worth. And indeed, this is a source where these things can often come forth from, not only from this lifetime, but from past lives. And it was part of my plan to clear this in this lifetime, but that did not happen, as you can obviously tell. And so I was left with great sadness when I crossed over, because I recognized that I had not fulfilled all of my mission as I had planned. And indeed, it is the experience of those who, on crossing over, recognize that they have failed to fulfill significant aspects of their mission. There can often be great sadness and great regret. And on this side, it can be difficult to clear those emotions. And I have to say I was very humbled to be able to clear my sadness through the one who brings my words forth yesterday. It was a great relief for me to clear those energies. And so my message primarily to all of you is to recognize that these energies are present. They can be present from past lives very often, and they, as a result, are given expression in some form in this lifetime. So you may reconnect with those energies from past lives. It is the key reason that you bring them forth in some form in this life. And so few truly understand how that consciousness works, how we all have brought forth prompts to ourselves in life to point to these things that need to be dealt with. But we are not taught about these things. In fact, they are hidden from most people. And so people may stumble across these things in some form, or through psychiatry or psychology find some relief or release of these energies. And I say to all of you, if you suffer from these things, if you suffer from a lack of self-worth as I did, if you are highly self-critical as I was, and if you carry great self-doubt, indeed as I did, then it is important to recognize that these things have nothing to do with the truth of you, the truth of who and what you are. You are a beautiful being created in love and from love. You are love. And I did not expect Richard to use the words that he did to describe my energy, and yet I recognize the truth of his words, because love ultimately is all there is. And you should find whatever mechanism you can to begin to clear those perceptions of yourself. Part of it is to find a way to clear those past life karmic energies, and I am aware that these two have been given a command, which at this point is restricted to some of their work to bring forth. But that will change as events unfold, and I encourage those of you who have access to that and have not taken advantage of it to do so, to help set yourselves free in this lifetime, to be all that you can be, even though these processes, in a sense, will be undertaken for all of those who wish to clear these energies before that coming December solstice. But I encourage you to embrace your own self-worth, to begin to search for that truth, that you do in fact love yourself. You must. It is the very nature of things. And so my message to all of you is to learn from my experience and to heed my words and to remember the truth of who and what each and every one of you is, a beautiful being created in love. That is the truth of you. And yet you live in this consciousness where so many would persuade you that you are much less than that you are unworthy, that you are not worth great consideration, that you should be highly self-critical. And you are also not taught the skill of forgiving yourself and forgiving others, because truly that is the key to setting yourselves and others free, forgiveness. It is in many ways such a simple thing, and yet we get caught in all of these patterns of blame and recrimination. You did this to me, and so on. So I won't forgive you. And so the one that is caught by that is not the person that you don't forgive, but it is you that is caught by this. I can see these things so clearly now, and yet I too, as you can tell, was deeply trapped inside this consciousness such that it cost me my life. And so I say these things to you so that you embrace that fundamental truth. And I know, as I said, that some of this will be changing dramatically quite soon. And as the consciousness changes, some of these truths will become much more obvious. And yet it is still necessary, even in that new consciousness, to claim the truth of yourself, to, in a way, step forward and claim that truth of who and what you are. And the earlier you begin that process and you accept that truth, the easier it will be as you move forward. So this, above all else, is why I am saying these words and what I wanted to share with you. And I am pleased that my music has left a legacy that I know many still enjoy today through the wonders of YouTube and iTunes and so on. It gives me great pleasure to be able to witness from this side how people continue to enjoy the music that Richard and I created. And it is my gift to all of you. It was a key part of my mission that I was able to fulfill, at least on some level. And for that, I am very thankful. And so it is.
Oh, how beautiful, Karen. Your message, we were not aware of the message that you would give before you came. But as you know, we work with these tenets, these truths that you brought forth, encompass the work that Richard and I do. From karmic clearing, from our conference calls, we understand how humanity is so caught up in this unworthiness. They have been taught that from little up. And Richard and I work so hard with all that we do. And I thank you for bringing this forth so that people can think about it. And if you haven't cleared this from the past, please go to our website. Richard, give a mention of our website, please, so people can go there.
Yes, our main website is the 2012 countdown.com, and there is, I think, a page there that talks about soul healing and links across to the key page where that work comes forth.
Thank you, Richard. And if you listen to our radio shows, we really don't bring a lot of commercials into it because we believe that hearing these individuals from the other side is enough. But I had to say this because what Karen tells you is really a big heart of our work. And I can't thank you enough, Karen, for bringing this forth, because when Richard and I do this work, we are so aware of how individuals carry this heaviness within their hearts of not being worthy enough. And I tell them all the beautiful souls that they are. I see in their eyes and hear in their voices the beauty of their Creator. And so I want to thank you for bringing forth that message. And now, to those of you who are out there listening to this, call in with your questions. The hour goes by so fast, and we get up to the time when we get to have to leave the air, and we have these questions from people, and many times it's too late for us to connect with them. So if there is something that you hear in this message that you want to talk about or you want to ask Karen about, please call now. Before we did the show, I was speaking with Karen, and she told me that she is planning to incarnate again, and for me to discuss this with her. So, Karen, if you could tell our listeners your plans for coming back to Earth, I certainly would like to hear this from you.
As you understand, I did not complete the mission that I came forth to complete. And this, as I mentioned, generated great sadness. And in a sense, the opportunity to complete that mission has passed, because all of that work related to the time before the unfolding of ascension. And so it is not really the completion of that specific mission that drives me. Rather, I wish to come forth once more into the human consciousness, the human experience, and to firstly fulfill the mission that I put together for that lifetime, but also to contribute to the best of my ability to humanity, and also to experience fully a life lived in joy and love and peace, because that is the opportunity for a soul incarnated in the human form, particularly beyond this transition in consciousness that is awaiting you. Because you will all, those who participate in that transition, have a much greater awareness of who and what you are. And so this loss of memory, if you will, that the human being currently suffers from, and the shaving of experience and ability, all of this will be reinstated and be in place for all of those who ascend, but also any who then incarnate into that new earth consciousness. And that is the choice that I will be making. I look forward to being able to express fully the joy and the love that I feel. And perhaps I shall walk another path in music, because truly music is so close to my heart.
Thank you, Karen. We believe that a soul that is incarnate in a physical body is just so miraculous, because it is the emotions within the body, the love, the compassion, the joy, the integrity. We could go on so long just talking about emotions and the effect that it has upon others, and the effect that it has upon the soul that incarnated. And I don't know if you have had an opportunity to look at this since you have been on the other side, but if you have, could you give us a little concept of what you have learned about the human body and the growth that comes from that through the emotional process?
I have spent quite a deal of time examining the nature of the human journey, particularly as, you might say, I got trapped in my own, not trapped by anybody else, but myself. And yes, it is a very difficult journey, the current human journey, because of the interplay, if you will, between the light and the dark, those forces that wish to control humanity for the most part for their own ends. This is a very difficult experience for most of humanity, even though they do not understand exactly what is going on. The journey through these energies and through the, you might say, consciousness within which all of humanity find themselves, it is in and of itself very challenging. And yet there are so many wondrous things about the human form. Before I mention the human form, I will mention the wonder of that beautiful planet called Earth, because it reflects the best of the best, you might say. So many beings wished to come forth and contribute from across the cosmos the best that they had available in terms of plants and animals and insects and so on. And for the most part, all of this has been exquisitely structured and balanced. Yes, there have been threads of the dark even in the expression of nature, but even these elements will disappear as you pass through these changes. And so there is this exquisite experience of nature that is unique to planet Earth. The other thing that is unique to humanity is the enormously powerful emotional bodies that you all carry. For the most part, humanity does not understand that this is unique in the cosmos. No other beings anywhere carry such a complex emotional body, such that there is this experience of emotions of such wide-ranging power and color, such that, as Carolyn was describing, just a list of some of the positive emotions that one can experience as a human being. And there are also the negative ones, of course, which so many have been caught inside of. But the journey to experience those emotions truly is unique. And so I have come to understand that uniqueness, and indeed it is part of the reason that I wish to return, to experience the fullness of those positive emotions that will be available still beyond the ascension process. So there are so many things that are unique about the human experience, and it is so easy to get caught in those negative threads, as I say, which caught me up, as I have described.
Thank you, Karen. We have another Karen on line 3. Karen, welcome. What is your question, dear?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question and for all the wonderful information. Just curious, and this may apply to others as well on the call, it just seems I've been clearing so many issues and so very, very quickly. And there's been a huge transition, you know, in my consciousness, but I'm just wondering, is there anything to do to kind of make it a little more comfortable for the physical body? Some days it's like being on a roller coaster ride where it's difficult to function. And the process is wonderful, and I know there's good things happening, but then there's also just very difficult for my physical body. For
yes.
pain, and so you know what I mean. But is there anything yes. that I could do to help in that process?
Well, let's see what Karen has to say. Richard, you heard the question, didn't you?
Yes. It is a difficult time that you are going through, as the energies shift so quickly and so powerfully on the planet. These energies really have been changing for the last 25 years. However, it is particularly the last 2 years, and in some ways the last 6 months, where these changes have been coming forth. And in a way, we can observe those energies. So we see how powerful those energies have become. And it is no surprise that those who are sensitive to these energies are struggling with these changes. Some have been quite debilitated by them, others simply a little out of sorts for a day or so, or lethargic. And there are other reasons that there are pains in the body. Some of these can be related again to the necessity of clearing the karmic energies that I mentioned before. And some of them can be related to just the processes of aging of the physical body and any conditions that you may have chosen to bring forth for whatever reason. I am aware that some individuals, for example, have chosen to carry a level of disability and suffering so that when rejuvenation comes forth, they will be able to be powerful examples to humanity of how this change is coming forth and what it represents. And it is a value to ensure that you rest and that you have a very good diet, primarily vegetable-based and so on. But relaxation and meditation and visualizing your body healed, these things can help. I'm not saying I have a simple panacea for you, because it is complex and it varies by individual, and it does include the issue of what you have chosen as part of your mission. So I would say to you to simply do the best you can in the circumstances in which you find yourself. And I am answering your question as a global response because it is, in a sense, an issue for many people. And recognize that when indeed the rejuvenation of the physical form comes forth, as indeed it will do before the end of this year, then all of these struggles will disappear, because not only will the physical form be rejuvenated, it indeed will also be perfected to reflect that perfected state that the physical form carried before the fall in Atlantis. So I encourage you to hold on to that future unfolding as you deal with your current experiences.
Richard, thank you for bringing forth that answer, and thank you for Karen for the answer. I would like to ask our caller, do you work with any of our monthly conference calls with the Masters and the Archangels?
No, I've just recently started listening to your Saturday night call.
That's beautiful, but I would just like to mention that we have three conference calls a month where Archangel
Michael
comes, Lord Metatron, and some individual from the heavens, such as Isis or Mother Mary or others, and they work with different energies for self-healing, for healing of the planet. And this, to give you an example, this last call that we had with Archangel Michael, he worked with a group to bring forth a particle that worked among the cherubim and brought down energies from the central sun, and we worked with healing our bodies. And so just to make you aware of that, if any of this relates to you, where this might be of interest, you could go to our website and look up those conference calls. This might give you great help with your clearing. Anything you want to add to that, Richard?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. So thank you, Karen, for your question, because it's something that many people need help with. And thank you for bringing it forth.
Oh, thank you. And I'll definitely start in on your conference call. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Now we have Claudine is on line one. Claudine, welcome. What is your question for Karen?
I was anorexic when I was a teenager too, and I was wondering if she has any more advice or any suggestions or things I can do, you know, to heal. If I haven't healed it up completely, there's anything else I can do.
Richard, did you hear all of that, dear?
No, I didn't get the first part of that, Claudine. Could you repeat it for me?
Yeah, I was anorexic when I was a teenager, too.
Oh, you were anorexic. Okay.
Yeah, I was when I was a teenager, years ago.
Mm. Ah.
And if I got it all healed, you know, if there's anything else I need to do or if she has any suggestion for me.
Do you have that problem now?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
As I look at your records, as I am able to do, I see that you have healed and cleared all from that experience. And so I honor you for having mastered those terrible challenges, which I was unable to do. And it is clear that you have cleared all of that from your experience. And so you should not remain carrying any concern that there might be any lasting damage to your physical body, because I see that there is not.
Oh,
Claudine,
okay. Wonderful.
Does that make you feel good? Thank you, Karen. Thank you, dear, for your question.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I would just I would just like to mention this in case some of our listeners are not aware of what Akashic Records are, because Karen mentions that she went to Claudine's records to check this. It is a remarkable tool because the history of individuals, the history of the earth, of the cosmos in general, different planets, this is all entered in records someplace. And it is the most beautiful thing that we can use, or, you know, speak to someone and get the information that is in the records, because it tells so much about an individual. Everything that happens is recorded. And I'm so glad that this issue or this situation came up, because there are people here who are not aware, perhaps, that we even have records. Everything that we do is recorded, every place that we've been. And I know that that is hard to comprehend at first, and the results that it had on us as an individual, on the physical bodies, it's all there in records. It's something also that we work with. So thank you, Karen, for bringing that up. We don't always touch on all of these different things in our radio shows. And so I really thank you, Karen, for even mentioning that, so people can be aware that this is available. We can get this information from our records. Thank you. And so we have Sue is on line 3. Sue, welcome. And what question do you have?
Well, I have one or two questions, actually, for Karen, if I could. But thank you to Carolyn and Richard and Karen for being here. I wanted to tell Karen that I'm a child of the 70s, and I'm a big lover of the Carpenters, first of all. So thank you for the music. And I wanted to ask Karen if she can tell us any more about her next incarnation, other than we know she'll have some kind of
associated with music. Let's see if there's plans afoot. Richard?
I am not in a place where the details of that mission have been finalized. As you may appreciate, it is not actually in that direct sense me, that is the soul particles that I am, that will be coming forth in that manner. Rather, it will be a different set of particles which are sent forth from my monad for that experience. And so whilst I have communed with my monad about that subsequent incarnation, as I mentioned, and obviously my sentiments represent an important input to the unfolding of the next mission, it is far more than my wishes, you might say, that contribute to the final formation of that mission. Rather, it is finally the choices made by that soul that will come forth in communing not only with the monad, but indeed all other aspects that have journeyed, including me. So whilst, given I am the most recent incarnation, you might say, on Earth, then I have what you might consider perhaps the most influence. There are many factors and many inputs to the final mix that finally gels to a mission and a journey coming forth in that lifetime. So it will be a little time before all of that is finalized.
Thank you, Karen, because that's a very complete answer. Sue, a lot, this whole process of incarnation and the monads and how all this works is not something that many people know about. We do have a lot of information on our website about such things, but the monad is the gigantic soul, if you want to use that word, that was first created by, you could use God or prime creator in the center of the cosmos. And each one of the incarnations, there is a finger of experience that comes into the earth, so that all of these individuals always have their memory, always understands their journey. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And we thank Karen for mentioning this again. These are things that people really don't understand. And when you start to look at the beauty of this and the complexity and all of the planning that goes into this, it is such a beautiful, remarkable journey. So, Sue, thank you for bringing this topic up. It gives us an opportunity to touch on it a little bit. Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question about the monads?
Sure.
Since you mentioned it?
Gotta be quick, because we don't have a lot of time on the air. Yes.
Are all the particles ever reunited and the monad back intact?
No, I understand what you're saying, and that has to do with Brahma. And Brahma, the first part, let me move over to Karen, because she is the spotlight here. Karen, do you wish to comment on this? Richard?
You began to speak of the cycle of Brahma, and it is not something that is well understood by humanity. What is known as the in-breath and out-breath of Brahma. And this is indeed acknowledged in some of the Indian traditions, and those notions are indeed accurate. There is, or at least there are, these very long cycles of what you call time, where there is this expansion of consciousness. It expands out to a particular point, that is the out-breath, and then it stops expanding and the in-breath begins. And indeed, this event that awaits you at the end of this year is timed to align with the beginning of the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma in which you find yourselves. And at the end of each cycle of Brahma, all of the monads come back together. All of the fingers of consciousness return to the monad, and the monad returns back to all there is for a period where, in a sense, time does not exist, where you might say all there is sleeps. And at some point, a planning process begins once more for particular objectives for the next cycle of Brahma. Each of these cycles are different, and they explore different things. And indeed, for the most part, people do not recognize. Indeed, many souls in many dimensions do not recognize that all there is exists within a context, and all there is receives guidance as to what to, you might say, investigate, to experiment with, indeed, in the subsequent cycle of Brahma. And then, when that planning is finalized, the next cycle begins. And that soul that some of you know of as Marietta, the soul that sent forth that finger of consciousness that you know of, as Yeshua or Jesus, that soul has the responsibility for opening and closing each cycle of Brahma. And once the cycle is opened, the souls begin to come forth, the monads begin to come forth, and the whole journey begins once more. And so, yes, indeed, those fingers of consciousness do indeed all return to the monad as part of that cycle.
Thank you, Karen, for bringing that forth in such an understanding way, because it is a complicated journey, and you brought it forth very simply. And Sue, thank you for your question. It brought out some information that would be very enlightening to people. Thank you. And so the next individual on our line of callers is Jennifer on line 4. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm so grateful to be able to talk to Ms. Carpenter. So my question is, I don't know if Karen has ever had this problem during her last incarnation, but lately I've been feeling this deep lost feeling, you know? And it stems from not knowing my true purpose on Earth during this lifetime. So if Karen has any advice on how to return to peace and kind of discover what I'm looking for.
It's a good question. It's a good question, Jennifer. A lot of people, you might say, are in that boat. So, Richard, what do you have to say about this?
The questioning that you have is a questioning that faces so many people. Indeed, most people in one form or another. And you might look at it as being the beginning of a true spiritual awakening. So many people have an experience of some sort which triggers this questioning. What is life about? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And that questioning, as I say, is for so many a doorway to begin to walk the spiritual path. And I am aware that you have done some looking at this, and so the question arises for you from the point where you have already been walking your spiritual path to an extent. And so you are looking for your purpose. And you, dear one, are one that is undertaking work that you do not understand. You are one that is actually assisting with the preparation for this unfolding time. And it will become clearer to you once the transitions that are about to emerge in your world come forth. You will begin to understand a lot better the work that you are already doing. And my suggestion to you is that you focus on the issues that I raised earlier about reconnecting with your self-love, healing yourself in this lifetime so that you can accept yourself as being worthy and valuable for who and what you are, rather than necessarily seeking out something tangible in this dimension, you might say, that you might fulfill in the next 4 or so months that remain before that transition begins. Because you are working in your sleep state above all else to assist with this work. So I encourage you to simply trust yourself and to allow events to unfold. This is my best advice to you.
Thank you, Karen. Jennifer, what did you think of that?
Thank you. That's just what I needed. Thank you so much.
Jennifer, there's a lot of information on our website. I do suggest that you go and do some reading because I think it would be very enlightening to you. And thank you, dear. And I have to say that our caller on line one, we just don't have the time to get to your call. We only have 3 minutes. And it's impossible to get your question and the answer in that period of time. So I'm sorry about that. And to Karen, I would like to thank you so much for bringing your messages of hope and peace and love and excitement for the people who will listen to this radio show, because people come back and have the opportunity to hear your words again. So I thank you for that. And Richard, I thank you for this beautiful being that you are, who connect with those on the other side using the magic of your right brain. And by the way, folks, he does a beautiful job with people that he teaches how to do this in the right brain magic sessions. So Richard, we thank you, my dear one. We have 2 minutes Anything you wish to say?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say it's been a beautiful time here this evening, because just basking in these energies that Karen is sharing with me, this beautiful love energy that she carries, has just been such a joy to sit and experience. Such gentle, powerful love, and also joyful. It's just been beautiful to sit for this hour in these energies. And so I thank you, Karen, for that experience. It's beautiful.
And goodness, Richard, I am so glad to hear it, because I have to tell you who listened to this, this is a lot of work on Richard's part. It takes a lot of energy to connect with people on the other side and hold that, I hold the space, and to take that time and bring forth this being for so long. An hour is a very long time to work with an individual, and you do an excellent job, Richard. Thank you. We're at the very end, my dear. We must leave.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, for providing the context for these sessions and this work. It would be impossible to do without you. Thank you.
You're
and thank
welcome.
You, Karen, for coming forth. It's been very
Absolutely.
Joyful.
Absolutely. So it's been a triangle of individuals that have brought forth this radio show today, and those at BBS who monitor the background and do that work. We thank them also for their dedication and their love and what they do to make their radio programming positive, beautiful, entertaining. And we thank you also, and thank all the listeners for listening. Until the next time.
Bye, everyone.